Good morning. 各位菩萨早安。We're very fortunate to have one of Master Sheng Yan's early disciple, Bill Wright, to give a talk today on Four Foundations of Mindfulness. 我们今天非常的幸运，是师父早年的西方弟子。Bill Wright 也是我们禅中心的禅修老师。他今天要谈的是四念住的基础。
Hi, thanks for coming. My name is Bill Wright. I've been a student of Master Sheng Yan for almost 20 years. I'm very pleased to be here. I hope that you guys get something out of this. I'll do my best, as I'm sure my translator will too. This is Echo Bonner, who's going to translate. I have no Chinese language, unfortunately. Sorry, I missed that.
很高兴看到大家。我的名字叫 Bill Wright。我跟随师父学佛已经20多年了。今天呢，很荣幸能够在这里跟大家分享佛法。坐在我旁边呢，是 Echo Bonner， 他帮我当翻译。我本人呢是对中文一个字都不认识，所以我很高兴能够今天有 Echo 帮我当翻译，很高兴，也希望就是说今天讲下来这一场跟大家分享的佛法能够对大家有所受益。
Okay, what we're going to talk about today is the four foundations of mindfulness. Very important concept in Buddhism, mindfulness. I'm going to talk about this again on May the 2nd, I think, right? And Echo will translate then too. We're going to spend a fair amount of time on this, but it deserves it. It's a very fundamental concept in Buddhism, something you really have to understand if you want to know what Buddhism really is. For example, what does the word Buddha mean? Does anybody know? Buddha, that's a Sanskrit word, right? What's it mean? Enlightened, yes, that's one way. Another, awakened is what I was looking for, but they're the same. It means awake. The Buddha was a person who awoke to something that most of us aren't really aware of. Okay, that's why we remember him and talk about him even today, and we try to follow his teachings even today, 2,500 years after he woke up. So we might ask ourselves, what exactly did the Buddha wake up to? What does that mean? What did he see that we don't see? Why is that so important? Echo knows. I will go on without stopping unless you throw a net over me. But Echo will stop me because she has to translate. Okay.
今天我们讲的主题是四念处。四念处主要讲的就是我们如何能够观哪四方面呢？我们观自己的身，观自己的受，观自己的心，还有观自己的法。这个四念处对一个佛教徒来讲是一个非常重要的一个法门。我们尤其是对这个观非常的重要。那我们到底所有的就是佛法，我们总结下来最主要就是所谓的观，就是能够让自己注意到一个东西。那现在我们讲的就是这四样，这个四念处主要的就是身受心法的观法。好，那所谓的佛在2500年前他所醒觉到的，佛他本身这个佛这个意思是什么呢？刚刚有位在众里面讲到是觉或者是醒悟，这都是 佛的意思，也就是说已经醒了已经觉悟了的人。那佛我们就在2500年前，释迦牟尼佛，我们这娑婆世界这个佛，他在2500年以前他所觉悟的到底是什么东西，我们今天要讲一下。
All right, well, what the Buddha woke up to is reality as it really is. Okay, now, we all think we understand reality, we do to a certain extent, even those of us who are not very enlightened at all. We have some understanding of how to get through the world, or else we wouldn't even have been able to get here to be sitting in this room, right? So we have some understanding, but our understanding is not entirely accurate. We see things in a way that isn't ultimately the way they really are. And what the Buddha did was he saw how things really are. So he woke up from this dream that we're all operating in to a reality, a type of reality. Now, what allowed him to do that? Well, it's mindfulness. Mindfulness is the mental factor that allowed the Buddha to wake up in this manner. Okay? So that's why it's... Hello? That's why it's so important to an understanding of the Buddha Dharma. It's the mindfulness, that mindfulness of what's really there, okay? So we're going to talk today and in 2 weeks about how to develop this factor in ourselves. A lot of different methods that we can use to increase our own mindfulness.
那我们今天讲，就是说这个佛醒悟了，到底醒悟的是什么呢？他所醒悟的就是所谓我们所谓的他对于这个事实的真相有一个觉悟，有一个醒悟。那我们问自己，当然一般人对于这世间的法多多少少都觉得你差不多了解这世间法是到底是怎么一回事。好，可是我们所谓了解的世间法到底怎么一回事，跟佛所醒悟的这个所谓的真相，事实的真相是有很大的一种差别。那佛他今天觉悟了，是用什么方法觉悟的呢？基本上就是修行四念处而得到的一个结果。那经由这个四念处修行成功以后所得到的结果，就是对于世间的真相有一个醒悟，有一个彻底的一种觉悟。所以呢，我们今天就要花今天还有5月2号两个礼拜天来讲这个四念处到底是怎么样。那四念处主要的它的英文字就是所谓的叫做 mindfulness。 mindfulness 就是完完全全的专心于一样，就是把你的心身心都集中在一处，叫做 mindful， 就是全心全意的提起你的注意力，就是 mindfulness 的意思。
Alrighty, so what is mindfulness exactly? Well, you can think of it as having two related meanings. There's sort of two aspects to mindfulness. They're very closely related to each other, but they're a little bit different. On the one hand, mindfulness means to perform all of our daily activities. Everything that you do, including simple things like breathing, walking, and so on, you want to get to the point where you can perform all of these activities consciously, being aware of what you're doing, rather than doing them automatically or absent-mindedly. So that's one aspect. It's sort of, you know, present moment practice, being, you know, whatever you're doing, keep your mind focused on that. Don't let your mind drift around. If you notice that it has been drifting around, bring it back to whatever you're doing. Okay, now what's the other meaning? The other meaning is related. It's to observe, to be aware of your physical and mental experiences with something that is sometimes called bare awareness. Okay, think about it's bare awareness, B-A-R-E, and then awareness. Now what is that? Well, that means to look at the experience without adding anything to it from your own mind. Okay? Now that might sound a little strange to you, but the reality is that most of the time we are adding things to our experiences. Comes from, you know, it's the way the human mind works, according to Buddhism. We don't really very often look at things without projecting onto them from our own experience, our own prejudices, our own past, and so on. The Buddha got to the point, was able to do that, to look and just look, just see what was there without adding anything to it. Now we'll talk about how that process works when we start discussing the five skandhas, which we'll do a little bit later when we are talking about the mindfulness of sensations. I mean, the reason we do this is because our mind reacts to sensations in a particular way, which leads us away from what's really there and into some kind of fantasy or something which is problematic, which causes trouble for us.
那什么是叫做专一呢？专一对这个所谓的有分两种，一个就是比如说你在做日常的一些在日常生活中里面做一些比如说洗澡、走路这些活动的时候呢，你是全心全意的在做，你把你所有的这个注意力都集中在你当下所做的事啊，这是第一种所谓的就是专注专注于你的这个身心活动上。第二个他所谓的 mindfulness 的讲法，所谓的专注的方这个是说，当你的这个身体跟你的这个心理就是说产生了一些经验的时候呢，比如说有的时候突然的外界的一个现象产生，那你心里起了一种反应，这个时候呢，你所谓的专注的时候呢，你就很清楚的知道啊，你的心里起了一个反应了。那你起了一个反应的时候呢，在你这个外界产生一种现象之后，你的身心起了一个反应的时候呢，你很清楚知道，可是呢，你不给这个经验再加上额外，比如说你看到一个什么东西啊，你又加了一个说啊，我喜欢或是我不喜欢啊，这样子的观念你不加进去，你就是很完全不加入一种自己的这种自我中心的一种感觉在里面，而是就是很清楚的，它叫做英文叫做 bare awareness。 bare awareness 就是只是专注的意思， bare 就是什么都没有加的意思，就是很柔柔，就是赤赤柔柔的，就是完全赤赤，就是没有加上一种任何东西的一种所谓的专注。
Yes, sure.
Just to clarify the two types of mindfulness. The first, if you're walking, you're aware that you're engaged in the activity of walking. And there, the second one, you're so aware of the components of it that it's sort of, you're not caught up in the label of walking, or that would be irrelevant at that point. Just wondering, sure I understood.
I think that's sort of right. You know, your awareness of, you know, these two things are related but not exactly the same. I mean, the bare awareness faculty is the ability to look at things and notice what's there, and also at the same time know when you're adding something to it, right? I mean, if you're walking along and you're feeling yourself walking and you're aware of the walking, but then suddenly you start thinking, man, I can walk, man, I am a great walker, you know, and then you start fantasizing about becoming an Olympic walker, right? Okay, you've moved away from bare awareness, alright, when you start doing that. When the mind starts fantasizing in that sort of thing, way. And so if you're doing this as a meditative thing, you would say, oh, when you notice that you're suddenly dreaming about yourself getting a gold medal in the Olympics, you say, hey, wait a minute. somehow I've gotten away from the reality of the present moment. What happened? Well, my mind sort of ran away with itself because of a pleasant fantasy that I started, you know, that came up and I just started to indulge in, right? Okay, come back to reality. And you just come back and pay attention to the actual physical process of walking again. And, you know, if you're like a lot of people, you'll do that all the time. It'll happen all the time. It happens a lot. It's very hard, you know. Our minds are not geared up to use bare awareness. They're geared up to do other things. And that's why we have to work at it to be able to develop this ability.
刚刚提出的问题就是说你所谓的这两种所谓的专注是不是比如说我在走路的时候那我走路的时候呢我没有这种想法就是说我在走路这样子是不是说就是所谓的就是第二种的那种赤赤裸裸的那种专注那回答是说这个两者的关系是这样子比如说你在走路你很清楚自己在走路可是你走路走路走到最后，你开始想，哎呀，我走路走得真好耶！那我走得这么好，我可以参加那个奥林匹克比赛啊！这些这个心理的这种是，这脑子里面的这种想法就一直都出来了。那如果你有这样子的这种想法呢，那你就不是像所谓第二种的赤赤裸裸的，就是专注的那种对当下这种各种情况的一种专一，就你已经离开了。啊，因为你已经加入，你在当下的时候，你已经加入一些你自己思绪的那些想法在里面了，那你就不是，你就等于离开了所谓的只是在专注你当下的这些身心的活动的一种现象，所以这是一种差别。那因为我们人一般人没有受到禅法的训练，没有受到佛法这个禅定的训练的时候呢，我们的脑筋常常就是这样子，对于我们的感官接触到外界的一些现象时候呢，我们马上就起了一些所谓身心上的一种另外的一种想法啊。这个时候我们就已经离开了我们身心，进入了我们这个想法里面去了。这个时候呢，我们就不是所谓的很专一的当下我们身心的一些活动，所以这个时候我们就已经离开了。
All right. Now, you might note both of these aspects have something to do with what you might call present moment practice, right? That's something that we discuss in Buddhism. You know, we do, it's a good practice to try to keep your mind in the present moment. Don't drift off into fantasy, and so on, more than you have to.You try to learn to control your mind, train your mind, so that it doesn't do that quite as much as it does for some people. Now, please understand that this, I just want to caution you, this doesn't mean, sometimes people overreact to the idea of present moment practice, and they think that it means that they don't have to make plans for the future, or they don't have to try to learn from the past, right?It doesn't mean that. as human beings, I'm sure you all know, one of the qualities we have that are very good qualities is our ability to learn from the past, right? You know, if you've tried to accomplish something a few times in your life and you haven't managed to accomplish it yet, well, it's a good thing to sit down and sort of think about what you did in those,you know, in those previous attempts and to try to get some sense of, well, what did I do wrong? Maybe I could do, if I do this a little bit better, maybe I can actually succeed the next time. You know, that kind of thinking where you're trying to just learn from your past so that you can do better in the future, there's nothing wrong with that sort of thinking. That's, in fact, a good thing to do. You should, when you're doing that, when you're doing the thinking about the past and trying to learn, keep your mind on that process.Okay, I'm trying to go over what I did in the past. I'm trying to think of things that maybe I did wrong. I'm going to try to figure out a way to do this better the next time. Okay, and keep your mind focused on those activities, which are mental activities, which in a sense are not right in the present moment. But that's not what we mean by present moment practice, that you shouldn't do that. Of course you should do that. In the same way with respect to planning for the future. You all know in order to have a successful life in our society, a certain amount of planning is necessary. You know, when you're a young person, you have to decide, well, what am I going to try to do to make a living, for example? You have to get some idea of that. I mean, if you're, you know, if you're a trust fund kid or something and you don't have to worry about that, well, okay, you're lucky. But most of us, you know, we have to try to figure out a way to make a living, right? And that requires then a certain amount of planning. How am I going to get the education, the training, whatever it is, you know? And that's perfectly legitimate to think in the future in that sense. There's nothing wrong with that. That's part of being a human being.
那刚刚讲的这两种呢，都需要就是我们能够所谓的叫做把自己的心念放在当下。所谓放在当下这个活动，就是说你在做什么的时候呢，你的身心就在那个当下在做什么那个地方，而不会把你的身和心都离开而去想别的事情。比如说你在走路，你就很专心，你就在你的心和你的身就连在一起，就在走路的当下。好，那同时呢，我要提醒大家，这所谓的活在当下这个呢，并不表示是说我们对以后所谓的这个各种的计划什么都不需要去考虑了。那对我们过去所学到的一些我们学到的一些经验，我们也不去顾虑它，而是这是一种对活在当下一种错误的认解。 OK， 活在当下并不表示说你不需要对未来有任何的做计划，或是对过去吸取过去的一些经验。因为我们活在这个世界上，我们做一些事情如果必须要成功的话，我们必须要有对未来要有计划。那所谓的活在当下的意思就是说，那你在计划未来的时候呢，你很清清楚楚的知道啊，你是在计划未来啊，而不是说你又身心又分开来了。所以就是说在你每一时每一刻每一地这个时候呢，你的身心都是专注在你当下在做的事情，即使这个在做的事情是对未来的一种计划啊，你就很清楚知道啊，我现在是在思考我未来要应该怎么做，或者说啊，我现在很清楚的知道我现在是在想我过去所学到的一些经验。所以这些你是等于你是在练习这个活在当下，只是就是说你的主题在当下的那个主题呢，你是在想过去，你也是在计划未来，你很清清楚楚的知道这个是我要提醒大家的。
When you're planning for the future, I mean, I just thought of this. But I mean, let's say you want to be you decide when you're a young person you might want to be a neurosurgeon or something. Obviously, a long road ahead of you in terms of education and things like that, but certainly a worthy goal, certainly a good thing to be if you can be it. But if you discover that while you're sitting around planning, trying to figure out what you need to do in order to try to move down the path towards being a neurosurgeon, if you notice that your mind tends to leap forward into a fantasy about how wonderful it will be when you are a neurosurgeon and you see yourself walking down the halls of a big hospital and everyone sort of responding to you with great deference and so on, and you start enjoying that feeling and all of that, if you're doing all of that while you haven't even really applied to med school yet, right? That's the mind running away with itself. That is not being mindful. That would be something that you would want to avoid, right?
那我给你一个做一个比喻来讲，就是说当我们在计划未来的时候，我们的心有的时候呢是就是在怎么样情况下呢，我们的心是不是活在当下的。比如说一位年轻人，他想未来要当一个神经科的这个外科医生。那他在想的时候，在计划的当下的时候呢， 突然一个想法，就是他的一种幻想，就像啊，你看多好啊，如果当了这个精神这个外科医生，我就是在一个很大很就是很现代这个很具有现代这个所有都是最新计划的这种医院哈，那大家就看着我这个多光荣的事情啊。当你有这样子一个想法的时候呢，那你就没有在练习活在当下，因为你那个时候呢，你连那个医科这个申请这个医学院的这些所有的手续都还没有做，你就已经想到，你就幻想到你已经成为了这个精神科外科医生了。所以这个时候呢，你就不是在练习所谓的四念处所教我们的那种活在当下这个时刻。所谓活在当下，就是说你这个时候你现在要该做什么，比如说你的想法，你在为你未来做计划，要当这个精神科外科医生这个计划这个想法的时候呢，你当下该做的是什么，就是你现在必须要做的，比如说要申请这个医学院，这些所有的这些手续你就要开始注意要做什么，而不是这马上幻想你这个产生这种幻想，就是说你已经成功了，然后那成功以后的这种心理的这种起伏的这种现象，那就已经不是在所谓的练习活在当下。这是一个例子。
Okay, now most people when they first start out on a practice, a mindfulness-oriented practice, are surprised when they actually start watching, their own thought processes more carefully. Most people are surprised at how often their mind does run away from the present moment. You probably think you're in the present moment most of the time if you're like most people. But then when you turn, you know, you sort of the self-reflective aspect of the mind, you start watching what you're really thinking about as you do things, you start to realize, man, I'm not really here all that often at all, you know. So you need to practice in order to be able to do this. Now the basic thing that we do in Buddhism, it's a very basic, very simple thing. We just try to bring our minds back to bare awareness of the present moment over and over and over again. You know, you may have to do it 10,000 times a day. So what? Just do it, right? Now, what Buddhism teaches, and this is true, is that this simple process of bringing the awareness back, just being aware of what's really going on, weakens the tendency to drift away. That's what the practice is. It's just a practice in awareness. I'm just going to be aware, aware. That's all I need to do, is be aware. Now, it doesn't obliterate the problem instantaneously, so in one day you suddenly are completely mindful all the time. Of course, it doesn't work like that. But what you're trying to do is break a very deeply ingrained habit. Okay, this is habit energy, as the Buddhists call it. It comes really from thousands of lifetimes of mistaken behavior, right? And so it takes a while to break these habits, but you can do it. It can be done. You just have to stick with it and keep bringing your mind back. It's the awareness itself that is the antidote to these problems. Remember, Buddha means awake. Well, awake, that sort of means aware, right? Isn't that sort of the same thing? Okay, that's what the Buddha did. He was aware. And you can, maybe not in this lifetime, you might not be as aware as a Buddha, but you can be more aware than you are now if you start working on it. Okay? So, that's what we're going to be talking about here.
一般人呢刚开始练习所谓的就是专注于当下的这个修行方法哈、哦、他一刚开始就对自己的一些身心还有自己的这个念头又做一个就是比较用心的一种观察。那我们在做这样子的一种观察的时候，我们会发现我们的脑筋我们的身心完全常常就是不再连在一起的，我们一会我们的脑筋就在想到别的地方去了，就跟我们现在当下所做的这些身心所做的一些活动一点关系都没有。 这就是我们刚练习的时候，我们就会察觉到啊，好像我们每一天每一分每一秒根本就没有在活在当下啊，常常不是在计划未来，就是在回忆过去啊，一直就是这样子。可是没有关系，这就是修行。所谓的我们就是一直要，因为我们累生累世，我们养成了这个习惯。所谓的习惯就是说一直都没有活在当下的这个习惯，所以我们现在刚开始要练习的时候呢，我们需要花很长的时间，而且我们要非常非常的精进，而且非常的专心，一直要把自己的这个念头拉回来，一直拉回来，一直拉回来，回到这个所谓的叫做这个就是一点都不加色彩的这种专注上面。那因为这个所谓我们一直要练习，就管每天你要练习到十万遍几千万遍啊，你就一直很有恒心很有耐心的这样子慢慢的去一直把自己的念头自己的思绪拉回来，拉回在当下上。那你只要这个有这种练习，这个专注的这个练习啊，活在当下这种练习有了以后呢，其他的问题它就等于是一种药方，对于我们这个所谓的这个对于其他这些我们身心与环境所产生的这些问题呢，它就是等于是一种药方来处理。那你看我们刚刚前面讲到佛，他佛的意思是什么意思，就是觉者。那他觉什么，他就是对于当下一切都很清清楚楚的知道，这就是他这就是佛的意思，就是对所有的当下就是很清楚很清楚的知道。这也是我们今天所要讲的自念处，所要它是最主要的这种一种方法，它的原则就是所谓的最不加色彩的一种专注，对于当下很清楚的知道。
Okay, so how do we get started? All right, I want to Shifu. This is the latest book by Shifu. We have a few copies of it out back. There are going to be a lot more a little bit later when there's a bigger printing. This is called Things Pertaining to Bodhi. It's his lectures on the 37 Aids to Enlightenment, as they are called. Now the first group of these 37 Aids to Enlightenment are the four foundations of mindfulness. Okay, so this is in this book. He has a chapter on the four foundations of mindfulness. You can get this later in a month or two. There'll be a lot more copies, I think. That's how it is. But anyway, in this, when Shifu was talking about this, he mentions that it isn't really possible to make much progress in mindfulness unless our minds are reasonably calm and collected. Okay, do you know the Noble Eightfold Path, right? You know that from the Four Noble Truths, the base, most fundamental teaching in Buddhism, Four Noble Truths. Life is dukkha. We experience suffering in life. Why do we do that? The second truth is the cause of suffering. It's because of these vexations, desires, and aversions, hatreds, and so on that arise in our minds. It's possible to get over. The third truth is, it is in fact possible to exist without this dukkha. You can in fact liberate yourself from suffering. That's the third noble truth, the great promise of Buddhism. It doesn't have to be this way. If you live properly, you can avoid it. And then the fourth noble truth is the eightfold path. If you do these things, if you live your life according to this path, this eightfold path, eventually you can get to the point where you have transcended suffering. Now there are two factors on the eightfold path that have to do with your mental state specifically. One is right mindfulness, right? Mindfulness is part of the eightfold path. And the other is right samadhi or concentration. That's what Shifu was talking about here, but it's another aspect of the mental training. We try not only to be aware, mindful of everything that's going on around us, but we also try to calm down our mind, keep our mind concentrated, as they say. We don't want to be scattered. We don't want to have a scattered mind if we don't have to. If we already have a scattered mind, we don't worry about that. I'm not telling you to hate yourselves because you have a scattered mind. I'm not telling you to despair if you have a scattered mind. Not necessary. Absolutely not. But what you might try to do is start practicing a little bit so that you can calm your mind down a little bit. You can, in fact, over time, through meditative practice, you can calm down your mind so your mind isn't jumping around as much, okay? There are some good methods for accomplishing this two of the best that we teach here are counting the breath and following the breath, okay, basic breath meditations. We teach these in our beginner's meditation classes. If you're interested in this stuff and you haven't yet done so, if you don't meditate yet, you should probably sign up for a beginner's meditation class. You'll be taught, a step-by-step, method to learn how to do these two techniques or what are taught in the beginner's class. Now these are designed to calm down the mind. You know, you're focusing in on the breath. And you're trying to calm down. And whenever you notice your mind has jumped away, you just bring it back to the breath. Keep the mind focused on the breath. Okay? It's a little bit different from insight or mindfulness style meditations where what you're really trying to do is just be aware of anything that comes up. Whatever it is, you notice it. And you're aware of it. Right? In this concentration style, what you're trying to do is focus in on one thing. And by doing that for a while, by practicing that, your mind will, you'll start to calm down. Your mind will calm down. You won't be quite as much of a scatterbrain as you are now. Okay, so you should do that. You should do that a little bit when you start in on mindfulness practice too, because you can't really do the mindfulness practice very well if your mind is too scattered. Okay, now, well, one thing about these the following the breath meditations that we teach, don't think of them as being only for beginners or like baby stuff that, you know, eventually as soon as you get good, you'll just drop that and move on. That's really not the right attitude towards them. These are fundamental, meditation techniques that can take you all the way. Yeah, Shifu always said that, you can get all the way to the end of the path just following the breath, just counting the breath, you can. Another book I have that you might want to check out sometime, here's one. This is by a guy named Glenn Wallace, Basic Teachings of the Buddha. Very interesting book by this guy. He's a professor. He has a PhD from Harvard in Sanskrit studies and so on. He has a very interesting take on some of these things, and he talks a lot about mindfulness, about the four foundations. But anyway, he quotes in here, he says, at one point, the Buddha was asked exactly what he did when he was on a meditation retreat. The Buddha had been on a retreat for 3 months. He comes back, and some people come and say, what do you actually do when you're, what do you do? When you're out there. And he said, I dwell in concentration on and present moment awareness of the breath. Period. So when you're counting your breath, when you're watching your breath, you're doing what the Buddha did. Okay? The Buddha himself did 2,500 years ago. Okay, so it's not baby stuff, right? Okay? Alright. Anyway.
所以那我们到底怎么样开始练习四念处呢？那四念处呢，今天师父出版了一个这个37道品，就是新师父最后一本的新书。在师父37道品里面书提到，就是说如果你的思绪很乱
不稳定的时候呢，你这个时候呢，你如果要练习这个四念处哈，你的这个功效啊不大，所以你必须要做一些前工作，前方法，就是在你练习这个四念处之前的，你要做一些准备工作。那什么样的准备工作呢？那这个准备工作的目的就是让你的这个杂乱的思绪能够很安静下来，让你的心念念头都平静安定下来。那用什么方法来安定你这个杂乱啊的思绪还有这个心呢？就是用数息还有这个随息这两个方法。那在师父就是说他这个数息和随息这个方法呢，能够让我们这个杂乱的思绪哈，从很杂乱的这个情况慢慢慢集中到就是这十个数字上面一到十，好，所以呢就是一个很好的前方法，能够让你能够从很混乱的情况能够变成比较集中的情况。那你能够集中你的思绪以后呢，这个时候你的心很安定，比较安定的时候呢，你再把这个四念处这个方法拿起来，这个时候你在练习四念处的方法的时候呢，你就会比较受用。那讲到这个用这个方法呢，Bill刚刚提到的，就是他也提到的所谓的四圣地啊。那所谓的这个所谓的他是这个定有两种，就是说所谓师父所讲的，就是说在这个前方法里面呢，要用这个数息和随息的方法来安定哈。同时呢，你要有具有两个这个就是你的心念必须要具有两个这种原则，一个就是你要有正念，对佛法要就是有很正确的认识，另外呢你要有正定啊，要有正定。正定也就是我们要把我们的思绪能够慢慢的安定下来，那这个在八正道里面有提到的所谓的其中的两个啊，这就是一个正念还有正定。那八正道呢，也是在四圣地里面的最后一地，所谓的就是苦集灭道，那个道指的就是说，因为它四圣地的就是说，四圣地整个讲的就是说，我们的人生什么身心所有接触的都是苦啊。那苦呢，是因为我们无明所引起的，所以我们一直制造这样子这种苦的这种现象。那第三地讲的这个集就灭的意思就是说，我们有可以啊，已经可以就是灭掉我们这个苦的啊。那用什么方法来灭呢？就是用八正道。那八正道，那个八正道里面所提到的两个很重要的，一个就是正念，一个就是正定。也就是说，在我们修行四念处之前呢，我们要有很正确的佛法观念，然后还要有很就是正定，就是我们的思绪我们的这个心念要安稳到一个程度，定到一个程度的时候呢，我们才可以把这个四念处拉起来练习。
Okay, now, let's get going. The four foundations of mindfulness, there they are, the body, the sensations, what they call the mind, and what we call dharmas,which is really just another word for all phenomena as we experience them. Now, the first of those is physical, the body. It's a physical body. But the other things, all of those other things are mental. But if you know, there are things that, what they're talking about are things that happen in your mind. You have sensations and, you know, so on. But if you take those things together, the body and those other three, you're really looking at the entire human person. The four categories include all of a person's experience, both mental and physical. Now, what we're going to be doing when we practice mindfulness of these things is we're going to be looking at each one of these things as it really is. We're going to be trying to train ourselves to see those things as they really are, and in so doing we're going to be giving up certain illusory ideas that we have about these things that we're born with. And when we can do that, we will eventually be able to liberate ourselves from the suffering that we experience in the world.
好，那四念处呢，里面提到的就是所谓的身、受、心、法。好，那我们四念处练成功了以后呢，我们就会对于这所谓的身受心法，我们先提一下，就是身体上受心法这三个这个受心法呢，是属于所谓心理上面的，心理上的第一个是身体，其他三个三个就是受心法，这是跟这个心理的有关系的。那整个加起来的身受心法，整个加起来就是我们所谓整个人，就是整个人体，这个整个人生哈，就都是包括这四个方面，一个身、心、受、心法。好，那如果四念处这个方法修成功了以后呢，那就是这个人呢，这个修行者呢，就会对这个自己身心，还有对环境所有一切现象，就看得很清楚，本来是什么样，他就看的是这个样子，他不会有一种幻念。对于这个自己的身体，对于这个身体跟环境之间的一些活动产生的一些身体现象、心理的现象，它不会有一种幻想，不会一种幻，不就是说，也就是说不会有一种错误的一种看法，因为不会有这样子一种错误的看法，然后对这个世间、对自己的身心都有一个很正确、很这个真实的一种关照，所以呢，他就得到，因为是这样子。对自己就得到解脱，那解脱的什么呢？对于这个苦就解脱了。所以这四念处整个这个修行的这个主要的目标就是要解脱自我。
OK, just to give you the message right now, you'll get it many more times, what we're really going to learn when we become mindful of all these things is thatThese things, none of those things are permanent, and none of them have an enduring self. That is to say, none of them exist on their own, unconditioned by everything else in reality. Now, some of you may be aware of the teaching of the three seals of the Dharma,or the three characteristics of experience, it's sometimes called, one of the oldest teachings. As I understand it, the second teaching, the Four Noble Truths was first, the second, as I understand it, was the three seals of the Dharma. All phenomena, all conditioned phenomena have three characteristics. They are impermanent. They...are no self, as it's usually called, but that means they don't have any enduring existence that is separate and distinct from the rest of reality. They exist as conditioned, as they are conditioned by everything else. Everything you experience, your mental states, your physical body, the environment, everything,as those two characteristics. Now, because we don't want to believe that, we're not trained to accept that reality, we have dukkha in our lives. We suffer, okay? We go out into the world and act as if things are permanent. We act as if there are things that are wonderful and exist on their own and are not really there just because of the conditions that have allowed them to be there. And we get really excited about those things, overexcited, and we end up making mistakes because of that. And that's why we get a lot of dukkha in our lives if we don't understand the first two seals. If we understand the first two seals, then we have nirvana.Okay? Now, when we become mindful of these things, we will be developing our understanding of that teaching, and that's why we will be able, ultimately, to break down our self-centered ideas about ourselves, about our own importance, and we will give up craving for things that are impermanent and don't really deserve to be. I mean, you know, we have some inflated idea about how valuable it is, it's going to be to get something. Well, what happens when you get something? Right after you get it, what happens is you start worrying about whether you're going to lose it. Everything starts changing, right? And I think most of you, I know how you most people live. As most of us live, we wake up every morning and we set off on this journey where we're going to try to arrange reality in some way or other, arrange our environment in some way that we think at the end of the day, once we've gotten this puzzle put together, happiness will occur, right? That's what we think, right? What really happens, you get the puzzle put together, and then you realize just as you're putting the last piece in here, this piece is changing, right? Right? You don't get that, right? Because everything is changing. So anyway, that's what we're going to be learning. You know, the three seals of the Dharma is very fundamental. I was on a retreat once where Shifu was talking about how Buddhism developed over time, all the different cultures and so on it's been in. And he said, well, you know, if you're looking at something and you want to know whether it's Buddhistic, ask yourself whether they believe in the three seals. If they follow that very basic idea, everything's impermanent, nothing has an enduring and unconditioned existence, you believe that, you won't have suffering, you don't believe it, you will. If they agree with that, it's Buddhism. Okay. All right. Okay.
那现在讲这个四念处，我们就是一点一点讲下去之前呢，先要提到的就是说，在我们这个观身受心法，有两个基本的这个原则。第一个就是说，所有的这些所谓的身受心法这四个。四样东西呢，没有一样是所谓永远都存在不变的，也就是说都是无常的。那第一个就要认知这个观念哈，他们没有一样是永远存在的。第二个观念就是说是所谓的没有所谓的一种有一个不变的自我存在在里面，也就是说所有的现象，我们的身体也好，我们的感受也好，我们的这个心，还有我们这个跟这个环境的活动来讲，他们的存在呢，都是因为这个因缘和所谓的客观主观条件的存在啊。如果这个客观主观的条件改变的时候呢，那整个形象，我们的身体也好，任何一样啊，都会改变。又是因为是这个样子，所以他没有所谓的永远不存在的这个自我在里面。这两个这个前提大家要很清楚的知道。那同时我在这里提到了所谓的无常呢，我也要讲一下所谓的三法印。这个三法印对于佛学来讲是一个非常非常重要而且是很基本的一些观念哈。那什么叫三法印呢？三法印里面提供的第一个就是无常的观念，无常也就是说所有一切世间的东西，你能够看到自己哪怕是自己的身体心理，一切存在都是无常的一种现象。第二个是无我，那所谓的无我呢，它的意思是说它没有一个永远存在而不变的一个自我在里面，因为所有的一切的现象都是因为因缘和而存在，是因为是这样子，它是一直都在变化的。那是因为一直都在变化这个原则，所以是无我的啊。那众生呢，因为对于这个无常和无我的观念不了解，所以他所看到他对自己的身体呢是很执着的，认为这个身体是他自己的，认为这个身体是一直都是存在的。是因为是这样子，对于这个无常和无我的观念呢不了解，所以呢他们就会受苦啊。因为受苦呢，所以就不会进入到所谓第三法印。第三法印就是接近涅槃的这个现象。 那如果众生如果觉悟到了这一切现象都是无我和无常的话，那他这个整个当下就已经是在涅槃，这个激进涅槃的这个现象当中。所以这个三法印是所有佛法里面的所有所谓的三法印都必须要具备这三个观念。所以我记得我曾经参加一个师父主持的禅期，那当时师父提到，如果你接触你去外面任何一个道场听法的时候呢，你如果能够用这个三法印来测量，测量就是来做一个标准哦，对于这个其他的道场是不是跟这个三法印相应，他们所说提出来的这些法是不是跟这个佛法所说的三法印相应，如果是跟这个三法印不相应的话，那这个道场所提倡的就不是佛法。所以这个三法印呢，等于是一个就是等于是让你来测量哦，是不是正重佛法的正确佛法正信佛法的一种基本的这种观念哈，这个是非常非常重要的。那同时呢，我们一般人的这种习惯哈，就是我们早上一起来的时候呢，我们就开始想哇，我们今天要做什么做什么做什么，一切啊都啊，我今天早上啊我要干什么干什么，一直都已经计划整天，这个计划都满满的哈。那如果我们这个到了今天这一天结束了以后之前，我想诶，我这些事情都做完了以后呢，诶，那我今天就过得蛮快乐的。我们常常就是我们的身心还有我们的观念所谓的起的这个所谓的快乐或者是不快乐，完全就是用我们这个所谓的我们自己的心理的这跟这个我们的这个环境啊，整个这个接触啊，做一个标准来做一个那个测量，说我是不是快乐啊，是不是不快乐，常常我们就是这个样子的。那在四念处会教我们所谓的什么叫做真的是快乐。
Okay, well let's get started now on mindfulness of the body. Alright, we're gonna... Now the first practice here is just simply present moment awareness with breathing. Okay, we've talked about breathing. You've probably been doing a little breathing already if you took the... Beginner's meditation class, so that'll stand you in good stead here. The Four Foundation Sutra, they talk about the first thing you want to do is start developing present moment awareness with breathing. Now the breath is an excellent object for mindfulness meditation because the breath is always with us. Right? The breath is right. You know, it's right here. You don't have to go out here, you don't have to do anything special. It's just right here, available to you all the time. All you need to do is observe the breath. No intellectual sophistication is required. It's simply a matter of trying to be aware of your breath. Now breathe naturally through the nostrils, feeling the breath move in and out. Keep your attention on your, basically right in here, right at the place where you can feel the air moving into your nose and then coming out of your nose. Just keep your attention right there, right on that spot. Don't follow the breath into your body. You know, there are other types of meditation, breath meditation, where you're trying to breathe from your diaphragm and so on, and various things about how you control your body in order to breathe in a certain way. That's not really Buddhistic. And remember, in Buddhism, all we really want to do is be aware. Be aware of what's there. Okay? So just follow your breath in. Follow it when it comes out. But don't feel it coming all the way down here. Just keep your attention right here. Don't try to control your breath in any way. Don't try to control it. You will discover that as you do this, that you will calm down. It'll happen naturally. You'll calm down. Your breath will become more smooth, more regular, and so on. But that's not because you're trying to force it to do that. You just by watching, it will calm down. Okay.
那我们第一个在我们在练习这个观身的这个法门的时候呢，我们先练习的是对自己的观察，就是当下自己的呼吸。 师父曾经就是提到，就是说，我们在练习这个观察我们呼吸的时候呢，这个过程当中呢，很自然的，我们就会安静下来，我们的思绪慢慢就会安静下来。哦，那呼吸这样东西是一个非常好的一种等于是我们的一种练习的一种对象。为什么呢？因为呼吸是一直都是跟着我们的啊。如果这个呼吸不跟我们的时候呢，我们就不在了，对不对？所以只要我们是活着的，这个呼吸一直都是跟着我们的。所以呢，是一个很好的用来修行的一个工具啊。那当我们练习这个，我们在练习这个观我们的呼吸的时候呢，我们不会用，我们只是用一种用我们的自己的这种觉性来看，又能观看自己的呼吸，而不会用这种我们的思绪来去把它复杂化啊。那我们呼吸的时候呢，我们在观呼吸的时候，我们呼吸就是很自然的观我们这个很自然的呼吸，这个呼吸就是进去啊，就是这个鼻孔进去出来这种感觉啊，或者它的这个温度，就是从这个上面这边哈，像是进和出的一种现象啊。那我们在观呼吸的时候呢，很重要的就是说，我们不会随着我们呼吸啊去一直去它，就比如说我们呼吸进我们呼吸进吸气的时候呢，我们这个脑筋不会，好像不会一直跟着我们，哦，气到了这里了，或到了这里，或到下面，我们不去跟它啊，就是我们呼吸进来的时候，我们很清楚的知道啊，我的呼吸进来了，或者呼吸出来吐出来的时候，这气吐出来的时候呢，我们很清楚的知道这个气吐出来了，就是这样子，很简单的这种很清楚的很观察知道，就是当下我呼吸进出的一种现象，这是一个第一步，在观身的时候我们必须要用的方法。
Okay, it's a good idea in this to be aware of what your breaths are like. The way it's described in the sutra, they'll say, when the meditator breathes in a long breath, he knows that he is breathing in a long breath. Okay, when he breathes in a short breath, he knows that he is breathing in a short breath. Okay?Now, and so on. It goes like that. Now, what it's really saying is, really, you know, as you're watching your breath, you'll notice, you will see that, you know, sometimes, you know, every breath is not exactly the same. In fact, they're all a little different. Everyone's unique, really. The body never does exactly the same thing twice, right? It doesn't happen. So there's a little bit of a difference. Just try to be aware, and you might even,I mean, it's okay to even say to you, you know, to just to have in your mind a sense like long breath. You could even use those words. This is a Vipassana style technique, but labeling what's going on. But don't think of it as I'm having a long breath. Look at this wonderful long breath that I'm doing. No. Leave that whole I stuff out of it. Just say a long breath, a short breath, and so on, if you want to.You know, you should be aware of, you know, what your breath is like.
在你观呼吸的时候呢，同时呢，你对这呼吸的这种这个品质啊，或是这个内容要很清楚。比如说你在呼吸的时候，当一个修行者练习这个禅静禅坐的时候，很久的时候，他的呼吸可能会一口气会很长啊，比一般刚练习的这些修行者呢比较起来，他的呼吸的这个时间会比较长，进出的这个持续的时间会比较长。所以当你在练习的时候，同时你的心里很清楚的知道啊我的呼吸蛮短的，或者是我的呼no 就是说，对不起，我解释错了哈，就是说你在呼吸的时候呢，你很清楚的知道呼吸的长短，呼吸的温度，而呢，你不要把这个我放在里面，也就是说，好，这个吸进去了一口气，你很清楚的知道这口气是什么样一个现象，长短 冷热，而你没有这种观念是说，哦，我的呼吸很长，哦，我的呼吸很短，也就是说没有把这个我字放在里面，而是很清楚的就知道，哦，这个呼吸是长的，这个呼吸是很短的，哦，就是说，也就是说你在练习的时候呢，你不但是清楚的知道自己在观自己的呼吸，而且很清楚知道这个内容是什么。
Okay, over time as you practice this you'll get, you know, your awareness of what your breath is actually doing will increase, it gets better. And eventually you'll start to calm down quite a bit and ultimately your breath can become very, very subtle and very fine. This can lead to, you know, even deeper concentration and insight and so on. Okay, well now that's the way to get started. That, when you're watching your breath, you're in the present moment. Your breath is happening in the present moment, correct? The breath you're breathing right now is not some breath from yesterday and it's not a breath that's going to come, it's the breath right now, right? Okay, so when you're focusing on that, you're in the moment. Okay. As you watch it, try to watch it, this, you know, without identifying with it. Okay, the thing you want to do is start saying breath is happening rather than I am breathing. Okay? It seems a little silly if that's all it takes. Well, just do it over and over again. It starts to have an effect. All right, now as far as mindfulness of the body is concerned, there are several other practices that are brought up in the sutra that help us with this too. There some of them are good because you don't have to be sitting alone to do them. Okay, one is mindfulness of postures, okay? In this practice, one remains mindful of one's bodily posture at all times. Four basic postures are referred to. They talk about walking, standing, sitting, and lying down. You know, the idea is your body's doing one of those four things all the time, right? Okay, fine. Maybe you can find some posture that doesn't fit into any one of those if you stretch yourself out enough. But you get the idea. The point is that you should always be mindful of whatever posture the body is in. Okay? And once again, don't so much be saying to yourself, I am sitting down. It's better to say, sitting down is happening. This is sitting down, right? This body, down, okay? Try to do this at all times. You know, this is something that we don't normally do. Especially when we get out into the world, when we're walking around, we're usually, you know, we have other things on our mind and we don't think so much about what our body's doing. Well, try to be mindful of what your body is doing. Just try to increase the amount of time that you are aware of what your body is actually doing. Is it sitting? Is it standing? What's going on?
那如果我们练习这个观察自己的呼吸长有一段时间以后呢，我们的这个觉性哈，我们的观察力就会增加。那随着我们的这个觉性的这个更敏锐了以后呢，我们的这个身心就会比较安定。那我们的呼吸也会更就是更平稳哈。那我们的这个观察力呢也就会更深入。那这个整个的过程呢，慢慢容不容我们能够练习了一阵子以后呢，我们达到这个现象的时候呢，我们就可以真正的开始把这个四念处的方法开始用上啊。因为当我们在观察呼吸的时候呢，其实我们就已经是在练习哈，活在当下。因为你在观呼吸的时候，你不会说是观昨天的呼吸，也不会是观未来的呼吸，对不对？一定是在当下你在呼吸这个时候。所以你在观呼吸的这个时候呢，你已经是在练习活在当下的这个工作啊。那你练习久了以后呢，慢慢你的这个注意力还有你的集中力会增加，而且你的注意力注意就是活在当下的这种这个时间 也会慢慢的就会拉长。好，那对于这个所谓的这个四念处的第一个观身哈，其实也有除了就是呼吸以外，它也有有其他的方法，比如说呢观察自己的这个姿势啊。那在姿势里面，它出大致的分成四种，一个是你在走路，一个是你在站着的时候，或者是你在坐在椅子上的时候，或者是你躺下的时候，就是说这四种姿势等于是就是初步就是比较就是我们所有的活动，我们身体的这个姿势里面呢，大部分都是落在这四种姿势之一啊。所以就是你在观你自己姿势的时候呢，你很清楚的知道你身体的姿势是在哪里。比如说你的这个身体是在走路，这个身体是在站着啊，这个身体是在坐着。可是你在观的时候，同时跟这个观呼吸一样的啊，你不要把这个我加进来，你只是很清楚的说哦，这个身体它在坐着，这个身体它在走路，而不要把说我在坐，我在走，或者是我在睡觉啊，就是不要把这个我加进去，你就是很清楚的知道这个身体是正在做什么。
Okay, the practice is designed to weaken the tendency to identify the self with the body. Most of us, you know, you've thought about this.I'm sure before if you've been studying Buddhism, but you know, we have this idea that there is a self. Well, what do we think it is? Is it the body? Well, in a way, we sort of think that. That's part of what our idea is. But we also think it's the mind, right? You know, there was something in the mind, we sometimes think. And then sometimes we think there's some kind of soul, which isn't quite the body or the mind, right? That's somewhere else. And that's the self.Okay, well, we have all these different ideas about what the self might be. These practices are designed to basically force us to see that, you know, the self isn't there. It isn't there. It isn't there, you know, right? So that's sort of what we're doing. So these practices about the body, be aware of where your body is at all times. You probably aren't aware of that now all the time. Just practice more.Well, as an example, because I was talking like this, did you see me move my feet like that? Okay. Now that's something I do reflexively all the time. That's a habit I have. I'm not always aware of it, but I was aware of it that time. So that's a point on the scoreboard for me. Okay. Alright, well, so we're trying to break the tendency to identify ourself with our body. Okay, that tendency does exist, and but if you do this all the time, if you really practice it a lot, you're going to start to understand that your body is really just an impersonal configuration of matter that's subject to volition, right? You know, that's what it really is.
所以刚刚我提到的就是说当我们在比如说观自己的呼吸或是观自己的这个姿势的时候呢，不要把这个我提进去，因为这些的练习呢，最主要就是说要打破我们这个就是对自我身体的一种执着，然后就是说用自己的身体来误认为是我这种观念，我们要把它慢慢的软化，然后粉碎掉啊。所以说，我们这些在我们在观身体的时候呢，我们不会说这个是我的身体，因为我们一般人在没有修行的时候呢，常常把这个身体误认为就是我啊，或者是说又会说自己又有一个永远不变的一种灵魂啊，都有这种用各种不同的这种名词哈，这种观念来形容成是我哈。那佛法就是要针对这些错误的这个见解啊，来用各种不同的方法来破除掉我们对于这个我的这个观念啊。因为你仔细的，其实你仔细的观察哈，你的身体没有一部分能够真正的说是你是我。这样东西的， 所以因为是这个样子呢，我们用观，我们用观各种不同的观的法门来能够破除啊、哦，我们这种能够建立起一种所谓非自我的一种这个身体是一种非自我合的一样东西啊、哦。那因为你有能够有这样子的了解呢，你等于这一苦啊、哦，这种所谓一直去无明引起的这种自我这个所谓这种执着的这种观念引起的这种苦呢，慢慢就等于是松软掉，然后也就会慢慢的会不会再去积极更多的苦。所以这个佛法的这个主要的这个目标呢，就是要粉碎就是我们人对自我身体的一种执着，然后误把自己的身体当成我的这个观念。
Okay, the next practice is mindfulness and clear comprehension. This is still part of the mindfulness of the body section, but it involves the mind in a certain way. It's interesting. When taking any action, you should perform the action with what they call clear comprehension. Now, the commentaries explain this to mean that you should understand the action's purpose and whether it accords with the Dharma.You should understand the suitability of the action to achieve its purpose. And while you're doing this, you should keep the mind in a meditative state, even while acting. You try to stay in the moment. And you should at all times see the action as impersonal and devoid of any controlling ego entity. So as an example, I guess if...You know, say you're going to rake the leaves in your lawn. So you live in the suburbs, you have a house, and the leaves are falling, and you're going to decide to go out and rake the leaves. If you walk out to your woodshed and pull out the lawnmower, what does that mean? That's not being too mindful, right? Right? Because you want to be...You know, you want your action to be appropriate to achieve the goal that you have, right? You know, that's the way it is. Okay, so you've got to understand the purpose. Now, whether it accords with the Dharma, that's mostly, you should be trying to live according to the precepts. If the action involves stealing from somebody or murdering somebody or something like that, don't do it.It's pretty simple. It doesn't accord with the Dharma. Try to keep your mind in a meditative state while you're doing these things. You're doing a physical job, but you're trying to do it properly. You know, your job is to wash the windows. You want to know that you're washing the windows. And so on. But don't think of it as you washing the windows so much as,The windows being washed.
第二个要提到的就是说，你在在观身的时候呢，你要有一种很清楚的一种了解，对这种现象的了解，对你所做的事情的了解，你对做事情的目标是要有一种很正确的了解。那它分成四个方面哈，第一个就是说。你在做任何活动的时候呢，它的目标是什么？你要很清楚，而且这个目标呢，是不是跟佛法相应？比如说，你如果说你要做一些事情呢，跟五戒是违背的话，那当然这就跟佛法不相应了。那这样子的活动呢，你就要避免去做它。第二个呢，就是说，你这个做下来这个活动的时候呢，会不会达到你的一种的目标啊？那这个目标呢，你就要很清楚的知道这一点啊。那当我们前面讲到了那些你做的任何的这个目标呢，都要跟佛法相应的哈。那第三点呢，就是说你在做任何活动的时候呢，你这个身心有没有在活动的当下？有没有一直都是不离这个活动一直都很专注在这个活动上？这就是所谓的我们刚刚说的叫做练习这个活在当下，你的身心都是统一的，跟你的活动环境都是统一，都是集中在当下的这个现象。这是第三点啊。最后一个就是说，你不要把这个自我放进去，你做任何的活动，你在你身体心理 还有环境啊，你都可以就是在活动啊，可以产生。可是呢，就是不要把这个自我啊放进去，不要把这个不要因为做这件事情呢，是因为这个是你这个自我在操纵的啊，是因为你这个自是出自于这个自我的出发点来操纵你这个活动的，那这样子你就要避免。
All right, next is meditation on the body's unattractiveness, as it's called. Some of you are going to have trouble with this one. I think. This is a meditation that's designed to weaken sensual craving, especially lust. Sensual craving is one of the major hindrances to advancement along the path. In Buddhism, it's a big hindrance. Okay, if you have too much of it, it will definitely get in your way. Now, you know, those of us who are lay people living in the world, you know, having relationships and so on, that's fine. You know, we are lay people. Okay, but. You know, some of you should pay attention to sensual craving and how, you know, do you have a problem? A lot of people have a problem with different types of sensual craving, okay? You know, you want to know whether you have a problem. If you can, you know, obviously if you're married and you have a sexual relationship with your wife or husband, you know, a certain amount of sexual craving is necessary for that to happen. Okay, and that's fine because you're lay people, you're living in the world, you know, that's okay. But notice if it's getting out of hand, you know what I mean? If you've got a Tiger Woods style problem, that's a problem, okay? That's not, you know, that's a problem if you have it the way he does. But the best news of the last 6 weeks, Tiger Woods is meditating again. He is. I saw him say so on TV. And I believed him. And I wish him well. Okay. Anyway. Okay, so how do you do this? If you think of, you know, if he had been doing this every day, he might not have gotten into as much trouble as he got into. But anyway, what you can do is visualize the body being taken apart. That's the way they talk about it in the sutra. You visualize all the parts of your body coming out. And there's a sort of emphasis on looking at the parts and sort of saying, ew, that's kind of icky, you know, like, you know, so that, you know, it tends to produce a sort of non-attachment, okay? It's supposed to be non-attachment, not aversion. See, you get the idea, many of us from the West, we get the idea that when we read this, that they're trying to make us hate our body or think that the body is evil or ugly. That's not right. Hatred, aversion, those are vexations. We don't want to hate things. We also don't want to lust after them, right? We want to maintain an attitude of equanimity and non-attachment towards these things. That's the ultimate goal in Buddhism. But, you know, because most people are attached to their physical bodies and most people are, you know, we do have sensual cravings and so on, and, you know, for most of us, to try to cut down on that a little bit would be a good idea. Because everything else in our society is tending to make us go the other direction, right? All right. So this is a meditation you might try if you want to weaken to some extent, you know, your lustfulness or so on.
在观身这个第一项呢，第二有另外一个方法，除了我们刚这是第三个刚刚提到的，第一个是观这个。熟悉呼吸啊，再来就是姿势，第三个就是所谓的叫做观身不净这个方法。这个方法呢，其实对一些就是在性欲方面很强的这样子的众生呢，是有一个很好的方法哈。当然我们一般人呢，不是出家众，是在家众，那并不是说欲完全是 不允许的，因为我们是在家人，要活着在家人，跟在家人啊，像在家人的一些活动，我们必须要遵守哈、啊。比如说夫妻之间的性行为，这是很正常的。可是就是说，如果对于这个性欲方面已经超过了一般正常的这种活动的话，会影响到这个夫妻之间的这个生活，或是影响到自己的身体健康，这个时候呢，我们就必须要做一些调整啊。那这个观身不净这个方法啊，对于这样啊，就是在这个尤其不但是在性欲方面的这种一种不调和的一种现象有很好的帮助，任何就是根于这个感官方面哈、啊、引起的一些不调的这些地方呢，我们都可以用这个方法来帮助自己。那他是怎么样来观呢？他就是用一种观想哈、啊，把自己的身体分开来，变成一种就是他这里是指的是地水火风哈、啊，就属于哪方面？属于地的，属于火的，属于风的，属于水的哈、啊。那就把它拆开来看，拆开来以后呢，你就会看得更仔细一点。那这个属于这一方面的是什么部分的？你身体哪一部分属于这一方？比如说水哈 啊，比如说这种的唾液啊这些哈、啊。那你在观着这样子的观下去的时候呢，你对这整个身体呢，你就不会有这么执着哈、啊，你就会看出来这个一切的身体其实很不干，就是不清净的，是一个很不净的一样的一个东西。那因为你观察更深入了以后呢，因为你了解了以后呢，那你自己的对这感官上的这种执着或者这种欲望哈、哦，就相对的会减低。
Okay, there are two more. I want to get through them, then we can go indulge ourselves in food. Meditation on the four elements. Okay, this meditation, another one with the body, this is basically just breaking the body down into the four elements, earth, wind, water, and fire. We don't think of those as, you know, that's a sort of what many of us think of as an old-fashioned way of thinking about the elements, but the idea here is to just show that the body is not a unitive entity with an existent self. The body is, in fact, a conglomeration of a bunch of things piled together, right? You can separate it out. And, you know, as you separate out all the pieces, do you ever find a something or other in there that is the essence of the person? You don't, right? It's just a lot of pieces, right? And there's no unchanging, eternal element in it that you can find.
对不起，我刚刚抢先了。就是在观这个观身不净啊，他刚刚其实有提到，就是说在性行为方面，就是夫妻之间，他用这个所谓的这个高尔夫球王我不晓得他中文怎么解释，老虎啊，对对，他最近发生的一些事情，就是因为对于这个性欲方面哈、啊，没有一个很节制，而且在对于这个家庭生活方面哈 啊没有很注意，那就表示他没有这个。用这个四念处的方法来修行哈，可是呢，一个好消息的就是说，他六个星期以前呢，他已经开始很认真的打坐，所以最简了，因为我们也很高兴，我希望他能够成功啊。那再接下去就讲，就是说观身不净呢，我刚刚也提到了，就是说我们要把这个身体啊拆开来，朝四个就是地水火风哈。因为你所有的部分你把身体拆开来呢都可以属于其中一个部分哈、哦。那这个表示就是说我们在很深入的关照我们自己的身体的时候，我们可以察觉到就是说没有一样没有一部分哪一部分身体是属于我们所谓的这个永远不变的这个自我的哈、哦。因为每一个身体这个每一个部分，你如果你观察很仔细的话，每一个部分都是随时随刻在改变的，好，就是因为是这样子呢，你就可以知道这个我们的身体也是无常的，没有所谓的这个真实不变的自我在那里的，好。
Okay, I guess we're going to run over just a little. The last one, this last part of the meditations on the mindfulness of the body. Cemetery meditations, these are big hits. Everybody loves these. No, not so much. But it's real. There's a series of meditations on the condition of corpses at various stages of decay. When you read the sutra, you'll see. And they basically say, you know, you look at the body of a person who's recently died, you say to yourself, that's going to happen to me too. It's going to happen to my body too. You go down through a long list looking at corpses in various stages of decay, or just imagining them, if you can't find corpses in your neighborhood. At the Buddhist time, corpses were all over the place. You could see them, you know, you'd walk on the road and there'd be corpses, you know, that doesn't happen in New York too often, but in the Buddhist time that did happen. But anyway, you get the point here. Now this, once again, be careful. This, it seems like when Westerners, especially when we read this, we think it's sort of morbid, you know, like what is this? This is kind of morbid weirdness. It's not meant to be that. It's simply to drive home the fact that you are in fact going to die. I mean, if you tell me that's morbid, I'm going to say, well, do you think you aren't going to die? Do you think that isn't what actually happens to the body? It is. That's the reality. Remember, we're trying to look at reality as it really is. That's what the Buddha did. That's why he became as great as he was. So we have to do that too, and it maybe takes a little courage, okay? But you are going to die, and when you die, your body's going to decay. And, you know, when your body's decaying, it's not going to seem like quite as wonderful a thing as it seems right now. Okay? Just be aware of those facts.
最后一个就是观身，就是提的一个方法，就是观这个尸体，就是那观尸体在这个整个刚就是人刚死哈，一直观到这尸体整个都腐化，这个整个的过程，它是一种练习的方法。那这个方法它主要的目标呢，就是也就是要破这个我们对身体的一种执着哈。那很就是它很观得很清楚的每一个过程哈，从这个僵硬，然后整个变成就是整个变成很。就是所谓的我们就是很腐烂啊，很臭，这整个的过程，它这个整个观尸的这个观尸体的这个方法就是这个样子哈。那当然我们现在活在现代的这个人哈，我们这个很少看到这个尸体腐化，能够有这种机会哈，来观这个用这个方法观察这个整个尸体整个腐败的过程呢。可是呢，主要的目标就是你可以自己想象得到，就是也就是知道，就是说我们人终有要死的，对不对？那我们人死的时候，我们也很清楚知道我们的整个这个身体呢就会从有变成无，就腐化整个这个过程哈。那今天我们佛法要教我们的就是把事情的真相看得很清楚，那所谓的死然后身体的腐化，这个是很真实的一件事情。那我们就让自己有这个勇气去接受这个事实。那一般你听到这个观死尸的这种方法，一般人可能会觉得怎么这么很奇怪很古怪的方法。其实这个并不是很古怪的一个方法，其实是一个很实际的方法，而且是一个非常好的方法，让我们能够真的是对这个身体的这个执着马上就做一个很有挑战性的一种方法来去面对它。今天佛为什么成佛，就是因为他对事情的真相看得一清二楚。如果我们能够练习跟佛一样，把各种真相看得一清二楚的话，那我们也就等于像佛一样，能够从迷变成醒的一个抉择。
Okay, that's all for today. Thanks for coming. If you come in 2 weeks, I'll be talking again and we'll go over the body, the mind ones, the four foundations, the sensations of the mind and dharmas. Those are all mental. We did the body today. Okay. Thank you.
So 今天就讲到这里哈，我们先是四念处的观身这方面我们做了一个 详细的解说。那接下去5月2号我们会再回来谈，那接下来要谈的就是受心法，这三个就是跟我们这个心理现象有关系的三法。
Please rise. 各位请起。